This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Pastor Arisha Hilliard. There is a voice to guide your way. Come with joy, we'll
refresh. Okay, y'all still caught up. Y'all know what we do here. Yeah, I was like, we don't know. Y'all know we shout here when we go to the Word, right? Romans chapter 5, if you haven't, let me hear. Romans 5, we're going to get into the Word. Thank you again who are watching by streaming. I trust that you did participate in the offering time and sow your seed and then stick around with us. You still got time to hear a word that will transform your life. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 is our foundational passage, and it's where we'll start our, we'll read from this morning. The scripture says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offenses of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the offenses of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." This has been our foundational passage in this really extensive teaching that we've been doing on experiencing the benefits of righteousness. Shout out righteousness. Righteousness. Come on, shout it out louder, because it's not a bad word. It's a great word. Shout out righteousness. Righteousness. Righteousness is this free gift, and our first division led us on this path of discovering how God gave us the free gift. We've been given this free gift from God called righteousness, that through the finished work of Jesus Christ, not by any merit of our own, not by any works of our own, but because he loved us so much that he made us righteous. And so we have the position of righteousness, which means we are in right standing with God. And when I give my life to the Lord, that position never changes. That I'm going to always, even if you make me mad, I'm still in right standing with the Lord. I don't want to go there, but if I just happen to slip and cuss you out. Amen. Now, I may have to face some consequences for cussing you out, because you may get mad and beat me up afterwards or try to. But I don't change my relationship, and my position with God doesn't change. That's old stuff. We already taught that. And because of our position of righteousness, we should not allow situations to reign over us, but we're to reign over them. That was the second division. So we entered into teaching on reigning in life, how we're assigned to reign in life. And throughout that division, we gave this reigning regimen for the believer, that when we face problems, that we're not to back down from the problem, we're not to back down from the situation, but we're to overcome them and move on. And the way we overcome them and move on is we step forward, we take charge, we use our faith, we get the victory, and we glorify God. Shout it out one more time. Say, step forward, take charge, use your faith, get the victory, and glorify God. And so last week, we closed out that division by understanding that while we're working this reigning regimen, our attitude is important, and that we should not take the attitude of one of distraught, one of distress, one of anxiety or panic, but we should administer CPR. That our role as a believer, that when we're in the fight of faith, we don't panic, we don't act like we don't have the answer, but we administer CPR, which was contentment, peace, and rest. Say, I'm going to administer some contentment, peace, and rest. So contentment is that comfort. We said it was that confident assurance in God's commitment to us. We found out that peace was this reliance on God's power and his provision and his promises to sustain us in every situation. And then we talked about rest. That rest is not, I'm taking a vacation from the things of God. Rest is not, I'm tired, so I'm not going to do nothing. But rest says that when I've done all that I know to do, I patiently wait on God to do his part with the confidence and settled assurance that God will see me through. That when I've done my part, I've got confidence. I'm going to rest in it because God's going to do his part. Because rest is not that I'm tired. The Bible never says that God rested because he was tired. When you see in the scripture that God rested on the seventh day, it was because he had done all he needed to do. So rest happens when I've done my part. I rest in knowing that God is going to see me through this situation. Amen. Say on today, though. On today. We're going to start a new division in this same series on, we're still in this overall series on experiencing the benefits of righteousness, but today's message is entitled, we're going to start a new series or new division called Taking Charge Over ... because that word after over is going to change every couple weeks. You remember, you know, when we were teaching the series about reigning in life, we talked about that there were different areas that we should reign over: barrenness, brokenness, blunders. That's what we're going to look at. So I didn't want to try to have a long title, so I just said taking charge over ... And today's ... is taking charge over your personal behavior. I got a good couple of hours of sleep last night. I know this is not no real Super Bowl, rah, 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 pep rally, but this message is the message that will help you win in life and reap the benefits that God has set aside for you. And it's not a topic that we want to really discuss in the church, because when you talk about reigning over your personal behavior, it, number one, requires you to make some changes in your life. But it's also a necessary topic, because if you don't take charge over your behavior, we will continue to behave contrary to the word of God. And our behavior, wrong behavior, can forfeit the benefits. If you're not behaving according to the scripture, you forfeit the benefits that your righteousness provides for you. Okay, I know y'all would be quiet. See, when you look at righteousness in the scripture, it's not just a position that we hold, but the gift of righteousness also empowers us to perform righteously. So there, remember, we had the positional righteousness and performance righteousness. Position is that I'm in right standing with God, but performance says that I'm going to live right. And we have been called to live right. Shout out, live right. See, I'm living right not to earn my righteousness, because I don't have to earn righteousness, but we do what's right because that's what his word says we're supposed to do. And when we do what's right, we then reap the benefits of righteous living, because righteous living has benefits. Okay. I told you I came ready for it today. See, when situations arise in your life, that there are going to be situations that will arise in your life that are going to try to get you to not do what's right. But you as a believer have to take charge over that, reign over those areas, because if you don't, you can rob yourself of the quality of life that Christ died to give us. And the truth is, situations will arise. Okay, y'all gave the same response that I thought y'all were going to give. See, salvation doesn't stop the situations from arising that will try to rob you of a quality of life. Just like they arose before, they will arise after. But just because they arise don't mean you have to yield to them. Because you have the opportunity, not only do you have the opportunity, but you've been empowered by God so that you don't yield to it and you don't forfeit the benefits. Amen. Okay. Situations gonna arise because y'all acting real bougie. I don't know what's wrong with y'all today. It's the new hair, that's what it is. Y'all acting bougie? Come on. Situations will arise.
And you have to decide when the situation arises, that 30 seconds of pleasure is not worth you forfeiting the benefits of righteousness. See, I was trying to be real cute and, you know, just situations arise. Just like you were, you could call them in before. Just because you saved don't mean you can't call them in now. Just like you knew how to creep before, just because you say don't mean your whole memory of knowing how to creep is erased. But when the opportunity to creep arises, I understand that it's more at stake than just the night out on the town. There are some benefits that if I creep, you may not see me, but God sees me, and that creeping could forfeit a benefit that God has set up for my life. And regardless of what you hear on Christian television, on the media, the scripture is clear. It matters how we live as Christians. And talking about sin is not old stuff. We still got to talk about it. We still have to live right. We still have to live holy. And as Christians, our life should be different from what it used to be. The Bible is clear. God still hates sin. Okay? The Bible is clear that sin displeases God. And it's no... I don't know what you they may be saying, but the book that I read and the Bible I read lets us clearly know that sin cancels the benefits of our obedience. Okay, let's go through it. Turn over to Isaiah 1:19. Oh, no. Stay right there for a second. Stay right there. Stay in Romans. We're going to get to it. Because it is important that the church teach on righteousness and righteous living. Because it matters how you live as a believer. It matters that you live right, and then we can live right. That's right. We can live right. We can be examples of righteous living and holy lifestyle. And I know, you think about it and you start talking, you say you're going to teach on personal behaviors, and I done said the word sin, and some of y'all just like, oh, I didn't come to church for all that today. No, you came to church for the right message. Because teaching on sin is not a message that is meant to condemn you, but it's a message to inform you so that you can reap all the benefits of what God has for you. You understand clearly what God is asking of you, how he will help you so that you can enjoy the fruit of righteousness. Okay, now, today is Super Bowl Sunday, right? Okay, so the whole goal of the game, right, is to whoever can score the most touchdowns. But it would be unfair for them to just tell you how to score the touchdown and not tell you how you can have penalties and fouls in the game. You know, Jonathan is playing lacrosse, and so yesterday Tina and Terry came to see his lacrosse game. And if you've never watched lacrosse before, it is a game that has a lot of rules and penalties, and it kind of, as a parent, it bothers me because I don't really agree with them whacking my child in the head and, you know, taking that stick. And I mean, it's rough. But what I watched Steph do, which I, you know, yeah, the goal is to get the ball to the other end and throw it in the net. But in order for Terry them to really understand what was going on, Steph started talking about the game. Well, if you do that, that's what makes a penalty. If, you know, if you hit somebody too hard, then you got to go over into the, you know, like hockey, you got the penalty box that you got to sit out for 30 seconds. Don't just tell me how to score, but tell me what's going to hinder me from scoring so that I can make sure I don't do that so I can get to the goal in an accelerated measure. Well, why is it when we come to the kingdom of God, we want to know, God, what can I do to get to heaven and just talk about that? No, I want to know it all. What is it going to take for me to please God with my life? What's going to hinder me from pleasing God? Give me the whole rules of engagement so I'm not stuck in the penalty box, and not necessarily the penalty box, but I'm not pushed back 10 yards all because of something I did in a moment of pleasure. but Pastor, I thought we were made righteous. So then, since I've been made righteous, I could do whatever I want. Not so. That's why I told you to stay right there, Romans. You're in Romans 5. So we just read the whole scripture about how we've been made righteous, right? Really, the King James Version and the original Bible text was not written in chapters and verse. It was really continuous. That's what man did when they wrote the Bible, is they added chapter and verse. So really, you can keep on reading. So let's keep on dropping down to Romans 6, verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. So here we're coming off the heels of Paul talking about righteousness. Verse 1 says, what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow? So you told me about all this righteousness and his grace and his favor and mercy. Can we just keep doing what we want to do? What is Paul's response? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? The scripture is clear. He says, I know what you're thinking, that you can go and just do whatever you want to do because you've been made righteous, but certainly not. You died to it. You got to walk away from it and not live in it any longer. So it does matter how we live. Turn to your neighbor and say, it does matter how we live. And the scripture is clear that righteousness is not a license to sin, but it is our license to practice righteousness and live a life free from sin. And you can live free from sin and take charge over your behavior so that you live right. You know, your life should be different after Christ. What you used to do before you got saved, you shouldn't still be doing the same thing. Because the Bible talks about how he changes us, that be ye transformed, that we're to be changed by having a relationship with the Lord. Are you still in Romans chapter 6? Drop down to verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Romans 6 verse 11, and this is in the King James Version. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. If you didn't need to hear it any clearer, it says, verse 15 makes it so clear. It says, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law anymore, and we got grace, and grace covers us. So does that mean we can do whatever we want to do? Scripture says, God forbid, that now I have to make a consecrated effort to yield my body, to yield my life to please God. And there comes a point in your life where you decide that you will fully cooperate with the scriptural plan of God and yield your will to his will for your life. So it's not about what the world says is acceptable. It's about what does the word of God say about how I should live. The world has its standard, but I decided when I gave my life to the Lord, I'm not going with the world's guidelines. I'm going with God's guidelines. And what does the word have to say about my life? Turn with Isaiah 1:19, because we're going to look at what the word says about how we should live. The scripture is clear that we should, how we live will determine what we will receive. And I knew this not wasn't going to be no message. I'll be shouting like, ooh, yeah, Pastor. But by the time we get done, you're going to get a whole new revelation about how you've been empowered to live right. Are you at Isaiah 1, verse 19? If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. We ready to shout. Verse 20, that's a colon right there. So that means verse 19 is connected to verse 20. The thought is not complete. I know my educators in here, I learned a little. Although I talk a little country and, you know, mix up some things, I learned a little bit in English. Verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. Sounds like how we live will determine what we'll receive. Okay, let's go to another one, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? Go to Job 36. And today you're going to go to a little bit more scripture than normal, but they're going to put it on the screen if you can't find it fast enough. And don't feel bad. Many of us have apps that's helping us. And thank God for computers and smartphones and iPads and all that, because now you don't have to have your Bible with all the tabs hanging out, or you don't have to go to the index. You just type it in. But if you don't have all of those great features and you don't know the order, just look on the screen. And as you stay around, you'll learn the order. But the screen is there to help you. Job 36, 11. Are you there? If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. We ready to shout. That's a good thing. Verse 12. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. The Bible says in Jeremiah 5:25 in the Amplified Version, it says, your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvest from you. So the scripture is clear that sin can block my harvest, and living right causes me to keep the flow of reaping my harvest. See, I don't want to do one part of the equation and not do the whole equation. You know, they say working out is only, what, 20% of the process, right? And 80% is what you eat. And you can see some people, like we were on the set of the Max Light Show, and Pastor Reynolds talking about how he goes to the gym. He just goes to the gym. He wasn't getting on a machine. He was just in the gym expecting to reap the benefits of what going to the gym produces. A lot of times as Christians, we just go through the motions and be in the area, but we don't want to do what we need to do so that we can reap the benefits. Just because I'm around don't mean I'm going to reap the benefits. I have to be willing to do the work. And what I do is I live right so that I can reap the benefits. And it's not just an Old Testament instruction, but even the grace of God empowers us to commit to living right. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. I know y'all said, Pastor, this is a lot of scriptures. Normally you give us four. We already maxed out. But I want you to see this in the Word of God and not just, oh, what she said that. No, this is what God instructs us. Titus chapter 2 is towards the back. 2 Timothy, Titus. Got it? Verse 11. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. If you bought a Max Life Bible when they were on sale, you have that. It says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritual, whole lives in this present world. Sounds like I'm supposed to live right in this present world. Awaiting and looking for the fulfillment of the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people to be peculiarly his own, people who are eager, enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Tell them all these things. Urge, advise, encourage, warn, and rebuke with full authority. Let no one despise or disregard or think little of you. Conduct yourself and your teaching so as to command respect. The scripture says, I urge you, I advise you, I encourage you, I'm warning you and even rebuking you with every authority in me
that your life is supposed to be distinctively different. You're supposed to walk uprightly. You're supposed to live a different way. You're supposed to put away some passionate desires. You're supposed to do that so that when you walk in, it's your integrity and righteousness that demands respect. And don't let somebody think little of you because you choose to live a holy lifestyle. They gonna see that holiness pays off. They'll see that living right pays off because it will command respect. It matters how we live. And if you don't want to accept how I choose to live, then you're not the right one for me, because I'm going to make a decisive decision with my life that I choose to live right. We can live right. We're a church that's committed to live right. And most people don't want to talk about living right because they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be held accountable. But we can live right. See, every married couple is safe in this environment because the singles in here, we made a commitment. We're going to live right, and you don't have to worry about us pushing up on your husband. Because that's not what they see from leadership. So if it's not in leadership, it's not going to be in the pew. Every woman around here who has their husband, they're safe because they know I'm not going to violate their husband's commitment to this church by being in a position of letting it get clouded. No, I'm going to live right. You're going to live right. And even though I'm single, I still promote marriage. We live right. This is what we do. We can be young and live right. The children are safe in this church because we're committed to living right. And it goes the other way. You know, you got to go both ways now in this season. We are a church that's committed to living right. And the lifestyle of living right is not just the mandate of the scripture, but here's the great part about it. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help you to live right. The Holy Spirit is there to help you so that you live right. See, the Holy Spirit's assignment, I know you may have grew up in the churches where, ooh, look what the Holy Spirit's doing, and they running all around and busting out windows. And, you know, when I was a kid, I saw this man run through a glass window. I can't get how the Holy Spirit gonna help me hurt myself. It don't make sense, and you don't see it in the scripture. Now, yes, there are moments where you feel the presence of the Lord, and there are moments where you shout for the victory, but the Holy Spirit is not just about me feeling good in church. It's so that when I get in some situations, the Holy Spirit is there to help check me so I can live right. Amen. Can I work with this thing? See, you still have the same temptations you have before you were saved, after you're saved. But it's the Holy Spirit that helps me keep those temptations in check. See, I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit. Okay, y'all can be cute and all. I got to have the Holy Spirit. Because I need the Holy Spirit to help me, check me, urge me, command me, resist, make me resist some things that I want to do. Okay, the Bible says, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And after salvation, you still got flesh. And flesh remember how some things used to feel. Flesh remember how some places you used to go. Flesh still know how to call them in. Flesh still know how to make it happen. Flesh still know what it tastes like. Flesh still know what it look like. Flesh still know what it like. If it like it tall, dark, and handsome. And even when you got Jesus on your mind, if tall, dark, and handsome walk in, flesh does something all on its own. But the Holy Spirit steps in to check my flesh.
tempted. The Bible says that even Jesus was tempted, but we don't have to act on every temptation. And it is the Holy Spirit that is more than just so I can speak in tongues and have a beautiful prayer language, but he gives me power to resist so that I can live a holy lifestyle.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Okay, go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm going to need five. It's football, biggest football Sunday. I need five football minutes, but I got to get you to a place because turn to your neighbor and say, I am holy.
I am holy.
Oh, y'all did good. I thought y'all were going to kind of back down, but y'all did good. Y'all did good. Because, you know, sometimes when you know some stuff that you done and some places that you done been and some thoughts you had even last night when you laid down to go to bed, you don't really want to say that you holy. But when you got a revelation on what holiness really is, then you can boldly declare, I am holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm going to read for a little bit. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And then don't just limit it to having sex. Because I know everybody, well, I ain't having sex. And you know, when I used to teach the teens, I had to broaden that whole word. See, we want to find loopholes with the word. Well, I'm not having fornication. It means all abstain from all lustly pleasures.
Yeah.
That everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. He says, I'm instructing you to abstain from sin. I'm instructing you to abstain from lustly pleasures. I'm instructing you to abstain from your weakness. See, because your weakness may not be my weakness. But whatever your weakness is, you should possess your vessel in sanctification and in honor and abstain for it, because I've called you to live holy. I've called you to holiness. And then not only have I called you, but I've given you the Holy Spirit so you can live holy. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am holy.
I am holy.
I'm whole, and holiness is not about a look. Holiness is not because you don't wear no makeup. Holiness is not about you not fixing your hair and you not wearing no weave and none of that and how long your skirt is and how much of your skin you got covered up. You just walking around with two big clothes on and probably looking a little. Thank you. Minister Laura said it. I didn't say it. She said hot mess, which was better because I was thinking ugly. Everybody need a little Maybelline and a CoverGirl or all that. I mean, a little lipstick ain't never hurt nobody. But that's not holiness. And a long skirt is not holiness. And I was going to say something what the old people used to say back in the day. Because the long skirt or the short skirt, it's not. I didn't say that. Y'all said that. That's not holiness. So, Pastor, what is holiness? And how can I boldly declare I'm holy? Holiness, you're holy because the Bible says God called you to holiness. And whatever he calls a thing, that's what it is. So he calls me to a lifestyle of holiness, and what he calls it, that's what it is. Turn with to Leviticus 11. Y'all put my, oh, y'all already put my five football minutes on it? Oh, Jesus, y'all working me today. It's okay. Leviticus 11, I got to get you to see this. The Bible says in verse 44, Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Even over in the New Testament, it talks about how we're to be holy, for he's holy. So the scripture says, be ye holy, and because that means be holy because he's holy. So holiness is not about what I look like. I don't have to forsake fashion to make you feel like I'm holy. I don't have to walk around with no makeup because that's your definition of holiness. The scripture says holiness is where I make a commitment to be set apart for God's use, to interact with God, and to walk in obedience to his glory. That I set my life apart, that God, I just want to please you with my life. And that decision, cause I'm holy now, that I am now holy, number one, because he called me to holiness, but then I make a decision with my life that I'm going to live my life for the glory of God. Okay, I know sometimes it's hard to think about, because, you know, sometimes y'all be laughing at me sometimes because I be having thoughts run through my mind and stuff I want to say. But there are some thoughts that I would never want to tell y'all to run through my mind. And you can act bougie, but you got some thoughts, too, that run through your mind that you have to just stop. And if you allow the enemy, he'll tell you that because you had the thought, you weren't holy. But I am holy because I made a decision that I want to please God with my life. And then I'm going to structure my life so that everything I do keeps me on that track and not away from that track. But the Bible says that he called us to holiness. How can he call us holy if we're not holy? If I had the thought, if I was with such and so and so last week, or whatever you did, maybe you don't want nobody to find out. How can the Lord call you holy after all that?
Yeah.
Because before Christ, there are some things that we yielded ourselves to. Amen. That it takes training. Amen. To yield ourselves away from.
Amen.
But I'm holy even in the training process because he called me holy. Just like he did in the Bible. The Bible says that Moses was there. He was on the backside of Midian. He looked and he saw the bush burning. He goes over, he hears a voice from heaven. He said, the God says, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. Is that not the same ground that he had just walked on maybe the other day or 2 weeks ago? It was. But why was it holy now? Because God called it holy. So I may have did some stuff 2 years ago. And I may have did some stuff 2 months ago. But today God has called me holy. So I am holy. I'm holy, and then I'm going to monitor being living this righteous lifestyle, because carrying out holiness means, number one, I abstain from some things. Say abstain.
Abstain,
abstain means I choose to resist it. That when the feeling comes, I'm going to resist it. You know, Y'all good today. But you know, you see a cutie, you holler. It's casual. You just first start talking about how good she, you know, you look so nice at work today. But you got a wedding ring on, and she's, you know, she's single. But you just wanted to compliment on her dress. But then you realize, you know, you got another line, because you used to know how to call them in. You keep talking. You keep talking. And then, well, would you like to go to lunch today? Because I see you eating alone. And as soon as you get ready to pick up your stuff to walk out the door with that single girl and that ring on your finger to go to lunch, and your wife don't know nothing about this relationship or this friendship, you have to abstain and resist and say, you know what? That was a good thought, but I can't do that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go work on the other side. It's good to know you. You can't play with your flesh in that kind of way. Carrying out holiness means I'm going to abstain. I'm going to avoid. The Bible says flee it. Okay. There are some things you have to flee. Okay. So I'm trying to get y'all out of here, but I got to get y'all to the place that I want you to be. And I want to be real about it. You know, for people who've never had an alcoholic beverage before, sitting in a bar means absolutely nothing to you. But see, when you have tasted some of the best of things, you've got to avoid the bar section. Say years ago. Because I don't, you know, now if y'all see me waiting in a bar, I'm going to say, oh, what's Pastor doing? I'm good. I'm cool. I got flesh under control. But when I got into the, when I was training my flesh, and I'd get to a restaurant, they say, why don't you go wait in the bar? We'll buzz you when your table's ready. I'll stand right there. Because if I walked in the bar and I saw that green glass, that green bottle, I know how that one tastes. And I know they got a whole bunch of new bottles, and I saw that, you know, some of y'all, when I said green bottle, it tickled right there. You know, that green bottle, or you go down the line and that white bottle with the blue writing on it, and it's called Goose, but it's got something else in front of it. You know how that tastes with a little pineapple juice and a little cranberry juice. You gotta avoid it. Because I am carrying holiness. And if I want to live right, it's some things I've got to flee. So when I was trying to flee some things, no, I can't sit in no bar. And even now, I still put safeguards in my life. There are some outfits I look at, I'll be like, ooh, that's cute, but no, we can't wear that. We can't wear that. We can't wear that. Some Facebook posts that you get, you have to tell yourself, no, we can't answer that. We're going to avoid that. Okay, come on, I'm going to finish. I carry out holiness through what I avoid, through what I abstain, and then through the assistant. The Bible says he infuses me with strength to live right. And then my awareness, I'm aware that the Holy Spirit will help me. So there's some stuff I choose to avoid. But what if I didn't avoid it, Pastor? It's all good because he made provisions for that. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm going to get y'all out. But before we get out, I need you to change your perspective. Because Satan works overtime on your perspective to get you to water down righteous living and to manipulate you into thinking that it doesn't take all that. See, he works on your perspective by what you see. See, your perspective changes by the power and the product of influence. So he gives subtle influences so that you start believing and accepting it. But my perspective has to stay locked on what God's word says. I cannot let the enemy come in and change my perspective about what's right. So I don't care what they put on the Grammys at the end and say it's okay. I know better. It's not right. You can pass whatever law you want to pass, say y'all were meant together, but that's for you. My perspective is not what society says is okay, but my perspective says, what does God's word say is okay? My perspective cannot be influenced by my feelings because there are some things that I may feel like I want to do, but the Bible says that I don't follow my feelings, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't let our emotions tell us where we're going. We tell our emotions how we're going to go. So I may feel like I want to hook up with you, but I can't hook up with you based on a feeling because I chose I'm going to live right. So our perspective has to stay locked in the word of God. And for the believer, our perspective must be spiritually and scripturally focused. They can change the laws. They can do stuff and put it on TV, but it doesn't change what I believe. Amen. And I choose to live right because this is what God requires of me. And the great thing about God is that not only was his blood shed to heal you, but his blood was shed so that you can live right and then cleanse your mind of all the stuff you used to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, we'll look at it next week, we're going to, it talks about how the blood of Jesus was shed to purge your conscience of dead works. So while I'm saying I'm holy, I'm still going to apply the blood of Jesus so it can wash out some of them images in my mind and some of the thoughts in my mind. So when I find myself in a situation where my mind wants to go another way that's opposite from living right, I got to plead the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that purges my conscience from any dead work. Father, I thank you for your blood that was shed, not just for my healing, but so that I could live a life pleasing to you. And I am holy. Turn to your neighbor, say, I am holy. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And then you have to choose that you're going to accept the forgiveness of God and not live condemned based on what you used to be. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when I ask God to forgive me and I repent, the Bible says that we're to repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And sometimes you got to turn off Christian television because you don't know where their theology comes from, because they tell you it don't take all that to confess your sins. If it took me to confess him as Lord to receive him as Savior, I don't throw out this if clause like, well, it don't mean you're supposed to do it. No, that's what I did to receive salvation, and that's what I'm going to do to keep my salvation, keep my sanity, keep this holy lifestyle. I'm going to receive forgiveness by repenting of my sins. And we can live holy. Repeat this confession with me. Say, Father, I thank you that holiness is your will for my life. I declare that I am a partaker of your divine nature of holiness, and I am set apart to interact with you for your glory. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowering me to recognize, resist, and remove myself from any situation that is a threat to your holiness.
Oh, they got it up there, but they got the small print.
Manifesting in my life, I boldly declare that though I am weak in my own strength, that I am strong in you and your power that dwells in me. I declare I am open to correction through your word and through the saints you've placed in my life who love me. I can do all things, which includes living holy through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I live day by day to glorify you through my praise, but also through the manifestation of holiness by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise.